Wow, this squirrel's got some balls. I better do something.
You want to get her?
No, I just better chase the squirrel off before it jumps on Harley.
Yeah.
It could be rabid, I don't know. That was close. And
That's
Harley
crazy.
just sits there and she doesn't give a shit. Like, all she had to do was like. Yard deck is becoming like a popular haven for birds and cats and squirrels. The
Oh,
cats come
God.
for the birds. And we have this one annoying cat, and the squirrel goes to just want to eat, but the squirrel's brave.
I guess so. Either that or has observed Harley long enough to
To
see
know
that.
that it's not going to do anything. Harley's not going to do anything.
Yeah,
Harley just stared at it and it was like flicking in the tail.
wow.
He's still, I could see that squirrel on the fence. He's waiting for me to, I don't know. He wants to eat. This squirrel's a bastard too, because he goes to the bird feeders. He like digs all the seed out and throws it on the floor and then eats it off the floor. So. Yeah. But anyway, we got to get to comics.
Chris, it can't be with us today.
Yeah. Chris would have already said, this is enough. I got to hang up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
Chris, he's very tolerant.
he's tolerant, but at the same time, I don't think he likes to. I think it stresses him out to talk to this stuff that we're just
Yeah.
talking about.
Well, it is stressful. See, for me, I feel better at talking about it,
Well,
but
I'd rather talk about it than keep it bottled in,
yeah,
but
other people, I think it just heightens their anxiety to actually
yeah.
speak about it, so, or constantly listen to it. So I
How many
understand that.
Marvel books are you getting these days?
More than any other company.
Really? More than
Well,
DC?
DC isn't publishing anything.
DC's got a lot of stuff. They just have them all Batman. I mean,
I get most DC, but yeah, I mean, you know what? I shouldn't say that. In terms of ongoing series, it's more Marvel because as ongoing as anything is, because DC does a lot of miniseries now. But I'm getting a lot of DC. I don't. I'm sorry, Marvel. I'm not getting any of the Spider-Man stuff except for Amazing Spider-Man. And there's some other areas that I'm totally that I don't touch at all, but
so you're not getting, but you are getting like something like the Sinister War because
yeah.
it's tying into Nick Spencer.
Correct.
Are you gonna get Moon Knight?
Yes, that's coming.
You get Daredevil?
Yes.
The X-Men, what of the X-Men title? I know you don't get X-Men Legacy. That
I get
one's
everything except for X-Men Legacy.
that surprises me because I.
It's not
It
continuity. I don't
seemed
have
like it
to
would
worry
pull
about
on
it.
your like it would
No.
pull on your heartstring a little bit because of what it is.
Yeah, no, that's the only one I'm trying to, I really am trying to cut back on stuff. As a matter of fact, with a lot of the DC things, if it's a mini now that looks like I can just, I don't feel like I'm going to need to read it immediately. I take screenshots of it now. I created a new picture folder, and it's going to be a reminder to myself that when it comes out on the app, to read a lot of this stuff on the app now.
See, that's what I gotta try to do to Marvel because I'm buying everything, but I think I could if I could just make decisions on like how like a strategy on how I want to do this. And Marvel's even better because you don't have to wait as long.
No, you don't have
It's
to wait as long.
3 months versus 6 months.
My problem is out of sight, out of mind, and so that's why I'm creating a folder and taking screenshots so I can try to
Yeah,
I can
because you'll
review
be
it
looking for
monthly.
the next hottest thing and forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, well, by the time it comes out on DC app, I mean, plus I always have a stack of physical comic books to read. So it's like I just forget. I forget that there was something that came out 6 months or was solicited 6 months ago that it was something that I'd like to read, but I didn't necessarily have to buy. So
Yeah.
that's what I'm doing now. I'm just gonna, I mean, certainly it's not everything. It's just a handful of miniseries that, like Superman versus Lobo. I'm not that big of a Lobo fan. So I'm like, you know what? I can just wait. I'll read that digitally and see how it is, but I don't need to own it. So that's just one example. But there's,
I could
I'm trying
see
to do
that
that.
being like Superman crush, like you not getting that, but I can't see you take Superman Lobo. That's kind of a big thing.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No. I
You
don't
don't
know. I'm so DC, like in terms of
approve.
can't miss. It's hard for me to justify missing anything.
Yeah.
It's easier
Well,
for me to do Marvel, even though.
you would regret it if you did that for sure. On the DC side. You
Yeah.
would definitely
There's a
regret it.
lot of X-Men series, like, and when it boils down to it, like, there's three of them that I want to, like, keep getting. X-Force, X-Men, and Marauders. Like, Marauders to me feels like what pulls at my heartstring of what I want in the X-Men. Hickman's X-Men is sort of, it's got some great ideas and stuff, but he's got an aura of pretentiousness about it and not a lot of action. Like,
He
it's
does.
more of like a talkie-talkie. Oh, we're in front of these people and we're talking about stuff. But I still like that stuff, and there's a happy balance. But like
What about Hellions? I love Hellions too.
Hellions I like because it's like the Suicide Squad of the X-Men.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's no consequences right now with them. I mean, yes, there's issues like with Rockslide and his reincarnation, and I guess Scarlet Witch is now affected, but I don't think her death is really her death. I mean,
No.
there might be something coming out of Hickman's what is it called, Inferno, where he like ends this Krakoa thing.
Yeah, it sounds like that's kind of, I mean,
But
that's what I get the sense, I get the feeling like that's going to happen. Like it's going to be like something's going to be ending
yeah, but like Siren, she's died like a gazillion
this.
times.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, there's a lot of like themes that are interesting, but it's like I'm regurgitating the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm happy
Did you
that
read Cable? Have you been
no,
reading Cable?
I'm behind in Cable. I'm
That's
reading the
actually
old
pretty
Cable.
good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's ending. I think
Yeah,
the
it is.
last
Yeah.
issue is.
Yeah, number 12, I think, is the
Yeah,
last
I think
one.
I wanted to jump into Cable, or I
But
read
it's rebooting as Cable Reloaded, I believe.
Sword, and I like the character. I've always liked Abigail Brand, and I like some of those side characters that they're real obscure, but man, that identity of the book is just all over the map. Like,
It
it's hard for me to like look at that book and say this is Al Ewing, the guy who writes Immortal Hulk.
is.
And this is just all over the place. It's like a tie-in book. That's all it is.
Yeah,
It,
because well, it
it,
started at King in Black, and it's
well, it
not been
started.
able to have its
The first
own
issue was
identity.
more Krakoa based, and then it jumped to King in the Back, and then it went back to Krakoa, and I don't even know where it is now. It went into even merged in with some of that other X-Men stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know, man. It's like Superboy in the New 52. I it never found its own identity. It was king off of Titans and other books. Like, it never like was able to establish his own, just have an issue to go forth and be its own book.
Right. No, I totally agree. I don't know how long that one is gonna last, because it seems like, they start up series and I think by design, they end up move on to something else and start up a new series or whatever. Obviously, if it was like their top seller, maybe they would continue it. But I mean, it seems like that's what they keep doing, is X
Yeah.
Factor just ended, but then they release something else, and it seems like that's the plan for the X-Men at during this whole
I
Coppola
like the
phase.
themes of X Factor because it was like the investigators of death, or to find out if this character's even dead. Like,
Yeah, there's no reason why it needed to end.
but
They could have kept going.
they spent too much time repeating itself, like with Siren and stuff. Like, move forward. Like,
Yeah, they could have had a lot of
give me
other
more
pieces.
characterization and stuff. All the X-Men books to me are spending too much time on the theme of death and not moving forward. I think Way of X is even sort of embedded in that realm. So, like, when I read X-Men Legacy, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like I'm getting an X-Men book that's not on Krakoa.
Yeah, so far I'm not hugest fan of Way of X. That's for sure. It's not one of my top X
A
books
Way of
by any.
X deals with religion and reincarnation and stuff, I think. It's
Yeah.
I like the religion aspect because I Nightcrawler is probably one of my favorites because of his faith. I like it. But yeah, a lot. You know what? I didn't. One of the books I want to talk about today. I did not realize until I read a Youngblood X Factor or X Force issue is that Boom Boom became Meltdown. I was like, wow, she's the same character. Who's this Meltdown character? And it's like they just gave her a new costume and
I don't think I would have remembered that actually
she
if
was
you would have
still blowing the bubbles. Well,
meltdown.
that I
I would have
think
said I don't
at the
know.
time at the time that this came out, I don't think X Factor was a big seller. I mean X Force, excuse me. Because this was when Youngblood was out and X Force was it was kind of like Cable. Well, it still had Cable and Domino, but it was like Siren, Meltdown, Warpath, and they were all wearing the same costumes. Like,
Gotcha.
they all had a similar costume. So I don't know.
Yeah, this is I just looked it up, so about 1996. So yeah, that was much farther along on the X-Force run for sure.
Yeah.
You want to cover that?
Yeah, I'll talk about this. I dug into Youngblood, X-Force, Youngblood. And this is it doesn't it's not advertised as a which to read first. I just coincidentally read the first one in the right order. So when I picked this up, I wanted to experience the Extreme Studios perspective first, then the Marvel perspective. So I took the one that was Youngblood X-Force and rolled with it. And this is written by Eric Stevenson, who's I think still the president of Image. And the pencils are by Roger Cruz and the inks by Larry Stucker. And this one had the most consistent art because it was all the same artist. But I like the art in the second issue better. This takes place at the mansion of the Professor X's mansion for gifted students. And the kids are training. It's Sunspot's wearing probably the ugliest costume I've ever seen. These costumes are kind of like gold. They're all gold with like a purple looking. I don't even know how to say it. They're all gold and purple. The costumes are all uniform, but it's got Sunspot, Meltdown, Siren, and Warpath inside of the what do you call it? The training. What do they call that? The
Danger room?
danger room. Yeah, I couldn't think of it. they're all in there training, and they get the alarms go off, and the beast complains that, oh my stars and garters, he's like, I'm gonna miss Regis and Kathy Lee. I'm like, why would Beast want to watch Regis and Kathy Lee? I don't know, but anyway, he that was important to him, I guess. And it turns out that Shaft is sort of ported into the Danger Room, and he's fighting X-Force. And how could he take on like Shatterstar, Warpath, and all these characters, but he's holding his own against most of X-Force. Maybe they're surprised that he just popped in and he had the benefit of surprise, and that's why he's punching Sunspot in the face. Shaft is just an archer. That's like having Hawkeye go into the Danger Room and kick ass. It didn't make any sense, but Professor X comes and he's like, "Where did you come from?" And turns out he went through a portal on Mojo World, and he was with Youngblood, and he escaped because Mojo wanted to capture Youngblood. And if you remember Youngblood, they were more of a government team that was into like licensing and getting paid and all that stuff. But this is also something I don't know if it exists in the Marvel Universe. Maybe you'll remember or maybe you won't, because it's pretty obscure, I think. But Mojo, I didn't realize there was a Mojo 2. And
I do not
Mojo 2
remember that.
is a skinny dude, and
I don't remember that at all.
he sort of looks like the Mandarin, but he has the same skin color and stuff as Mojo does. And I guess he took over Mojo World. He announces himself, this is ridiculous, I'm Mojo 2, the sequel. Like, so Mojo is a character that likes to collect superheroes and then have them fight and stuff for ratings. Arcade does similar stuff, but Mojo does it on like off-world, and he's all about the ratings. He's got to have good
Yeah, like
ratings.
Arcade does it like as an almost like as an assassin, like he's hired to throw these people into this game to in order to, I guess, get rid of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So they had just arrested the four, and I don't remember the four very well, but they're villains of Youngblood. And it's got Vogue, Riptide, Shaft, Bad Rock, Die Hard, Night Saber. But the ones you probably know offhand are Riptide, Die Hard, Shaft, and Bad Rock. They're sort of like the iconic Youngblood. Night Saber is sort of like a ripoff of Gambit. I don't know if you remember him, but
Night Saber?
Night Saber.
No.
He's so much like Gambit. Even the way he talks, it's like such a knockoff. Bad Rock is sort of like a cross between Prime and the Thing. In terms of power, he's like the Thing, but he's a kid, so he's got the mentality of Prime or Captain Marvel or Shazam. But
Oh, I see him. I was just looking him up.
yeah, Nightsaber. Yeah, he's kind of an annoying character. It's weird with Gambit. I find Gambit more annoying now, but I liked him when he was there. And
Same.
in the cartoon, I loved him. Like, when I was watching the animated series, like Gambit was my favorite, and now he's not my favorite anymore. Like, I love I. The things I do like about Gambit is I like the relationship between him and Rogue. I've always liked that. But and I like his background, that he's sort of like a thief, you know? I think that's pretty cool. But anyway, Mojo is working against Mojo 2, And he wants to capture young blood because the X-Men are no longer good for ratings. And that's pretty much what this story is about. And I didn't realize Mojo, I don't remember this guy either, but there's this character called Major Domo.
Oh yeah, I remember him. He's got like
Okay.
a ponytail, doesn't he?
Well, Major Domo is like a, at least in this comic, he's portrayed like Mojo's Bib Fortuna, like to Jabba
Yes,
the Hutt.
exactly right. Yeah.
So Major Domo's there. The thing that cracks me out about Major Domo, though, is he calls him like your viciousness or your fat, you know, like fat assness or stuff like that. And I'm like,
So
he's
not
kind of like,
complimentary at all.
they're not complimentary things, but it makes for an entertaining read because of his sarcastic wit. And he's always like correcting him. Like, if I was Mojo, I would just slap him upside the head, but he doesn't. He makes fun of his. He's like, oh, we're going to make a remake of Gulliver Travails. And he goes, it's travels, actually. And, you know, like he just corrects him on everything. But I like this Major Domo. And I don't know who this Rita Ricochet is, but she seems to be a bridge between two worlds. And I don't know if she was ever an X-Men or not.
She sounds familiar, but I don't,
I didn't
other than
have
the name,
time
I can't think of anything.
to look her up. But Bad Rock likes being there. Like he wants to be the savior of Mojo World, and they are getting better ratings. And then there's this strange character that this is weird. It plays out in the second issue, but there's this evil being in here. I forget what they call him. Maybe they don't give his name right yet, but that turns out to be Dazzler later on, which is really weird. And I'll explain that as I get into the second issue. But at the end of this issue, X-Force and Youngblood sort of team up, except Youngblood is ported back to their world, and X-Force is ported back to like Mojo World. And that like leads into the second issue because they feel guilty that they didn't help Mojo World, like the people of Mojo World. And Youngblood tries to make their way back so they could help Cable and X-Force. And the second one's called X-Force Youngblood, and it's got a Steven Platt cover. And I don't know about you, but like me and Bill Bomer were like gaga over Steven Platt back in the day. Steven Platt was doing like Moon Knight and Prophet.
Oh, yes,
And
okay, yes.
he was huge. I mean, at the time he was like Wizard's like number one or two guy. Like he was big. He was probably the biggest artist to come out of Extreme Studios.
Okay.
And he got his gig, and I guess his output wasn't a lot, but man, he was huge. He did the cover. He's one of the artists in this book, but there are a lot. There's Dan Fraga, Richard Hori, Ching Lao, Michael Lynching. I haven't heard of any of these. Michael Perillo, Andy Park, I've heard of him. And then a bunch of different inkers. Probably the most famous there are Sean Parsons and Norm Rapmond, but there's a ton of them. But the art in this is amazing, and I could kind of guess which ones that Platt did, but there's an opening sequence with Dazzler that's really well drawn. I like it a lot. And I don't think that's Platt, but it turns out Dazzler is believed to be dead, and so is Longshot. Longshot died on Mojo World, and this character, Ricochet Rita, reported to X-Force that Allison and Longshot were dead, and now they go into Mojo World and try to see what's going on and help them. And this now they bring in Shatterstar and Caliban. What is Caliban's story? Wasn't he a Morlock?
He was a Morlock.
He came from the sewers, but
Yep.
is he
How's he look
primarily
in this?
strength or what is his ability?
Is he huge in this one?
Yeah, he's huge. He's like,
He became one of the horsemen of Apocalypse, and
yeah.
that's where he Apocalypse transformed him to be like really big and strong and stuff. Before he was like just a skinny. I don't remember.
Yeah, here he's like,
Oh, I think he was able to sense other mutants. I think that was his mutant ability as just a skinny like Morlock. But then I believe Apocalypse transformed him into one of his horsemen.
yeah, that must be. And here he's like, there's a splash page in here which shows Caliban, Sunspot, Warpath, Cable, Domino, Meltdown, Shatterstar. And this is the issue where I realized is Meltdown Boom Boom. Because she was drawn like on top, sitting on a table blowing a bubble. And there's like two characters that I think chew bubble gum is Jubilee and Boom Boom. So like
Yes,
you,
that's right.
so yeah,
They
I was
love
like,
their bubble gum.
why would they have another bubble gum chewing person in X-Force? And I looked it up and it's the same character. I guess Boom Boom was too childish. But here's where you get, I think, into the Steven Platt drawn stuff. He draws Cable and Rita, and they look amazing. And then he had a couple panels, I think, drawing Youngblood. And then there's a beautiful splash page of the four. And I think he drew it too. And then there's some other artists that look like Rob Liefeld, because Rob Liefeld hired a lot of artists that look like him to keep the st you know Extreme Studios published. But they managed, the Youngblood manages to get their starship through back to Mojo World and work with X-Force to take on Mojo, but Mojo at the end does escape. And they do find out that Allison and Longshot are alive, you know, Dazzler and Longshot, and they rescue them and they're able to return back to their worlds. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of like 90s goodness. I really liked the art in the Marvel version with Platt. Even though I think he only had like 5 pages, God, they looked gorgeous. If you're a listener and you don't know Steven Platt, look up Steven Platt Moon Knight and you'll see what his art. He had a very hyper Todd McFarlane style, in my opinion.
Yes, I was just looking at it. I think that's a good way to
He
describe it.
drew more lines than Todd. So, but it if you look at the character design and the way he draws it, it looks like a McFarlane picture.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, that's what I dug out of the boxes to cover.
Nice. So the first one I got is Captain America. I'm still reading my old Captain Americas. So I'm doing Captain America number 144, which is Captain America and the Falcon, Cap and the Falcon split up. Featuring the malevolent menace of Hydra and the fantabulous Femme Force. This is actually just shortly, only a few issues into Gary Friedrich's run as scripter.
You know what Gary
Stan Lee.
Friedrich created or is famous for, right? His
Who?
most popular character?
Uh-uh.
Ghost Rider.
Oh, really?
Yep.
No, I had no idea. Stan Lee had just stopped being credited as the writer about 3 issues prior to this, and John Romita was the artist. So this is a good one. I really enjoyed this. It opens up with this big splash of Hydra and a ton of the Hydra agents, just shouting their chant of Hail Hydra. I thought it was cut off one head and two more will grow into its place, but this guy's saying cut off one arm and two more will take its place. But anyhow,
That's not right.
it's head, right?
It's head, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think that's supposed to be arm. So they're in some sort of warehouse and crashing into the from this huge window up above are Cap and Nick Fury and some SHIELD agents. And Nick Fury is saying, Arrow Attack Force One, execute invasion. And so they're all fighting and beating up the Hydra agents, and you know Nick Fury even has time. They're all flying on jetpacks, by the way, which is why it's the Arrow Attack. And Nick Fury even has time to light a new cigar as he's flying around. They eject their rocket packs and get on the ground and start attacking. And there's a terrific another big splash by Romita of Cap. And he's just surrounded by Hydra agents and just knocking them all out. Plonk, thunk, crack, et cetera, et cetera. It's really nice page. So then what you realize the next page over is that it's revealed that this is actually an exercise for the U.S. government, including Richard Nixon, the president at the time. And they're doing that. These aren't real Hydra agents. It's basically like almost like you said, like a danger room, but they're performing this on screen for Nixon and his staff and people from the Department of Defense because they are looking for SHIELD is looking for more funding. So he go and so he's Nick Fury's briefly talking to Nixon. He's like, okay, well, he got one more thing for you. And he shouts up, Fem Force One attack. And Sharon Carter and all these other female SHIELD agents come busting in on these like kind of like hover bikes, and they start attacking the Hydra agents that are still left. And you know, Sharon's thinking to herself, you know, basically they're using this as a their chance to prove that women are as valuable as men in SHIELD. And you know, obviously this is like 71, 72. We're still right at, you know, in the equal rights movement between blacks and whites and men and women. So they go ahead and clean up the rest of the Hydra agents that are still up. And Sharon says at one point, if this doesn't make you a believer in the women's lib movement, I don't know what will. So Cap says, well, let's say it makes me a believer in the SHIELD Fem Force and let it slide at that. So they finish up. Nick Fury talks more with Nixon and he's like, okay, can we get more funding? And he's like, well, you know, if we get a favorable reaction from Department of Defense, then it goes to the Pentagon, then it goes to my cabinet, then it goes to Congress. Like this is going to take a while. And Nick Fury's getting very, you know, frustrated, as you can imagine, because he's really a no-nonsense person, and he's getting the runaround. And he gives them a diagram of the LMDs, life model decoys, saying, you know, they need more of those and everything else. And that's pretty much where they leave it. And Nixon hangs up. Again, Nick Fury's annoyed that he's not getting an answer right up front. But he said, all right, everything seems to be a little bit quiet right now. We got to cut through this red tape. So in the meantime, Sharon, Cap, why don't you go take a vacation for a week or two? And so that's where we leave part one, is Cap and Sharon are going to go ahead and enjoy, actually get some time off together, because they finally put aside some of their differences that they had, where earlier Cap was very adamant that he didn't want any woman of his working as a field agent of SHIELD, wanted her behind a desk somewhere safe. It's very old-fashioned, remember, you know, growing up in the 40s. So he's gotten over that, and now they're together again. So we get chapter two, again, still written by Gary Friedrich, but this time the art's by Gray Morrow. And we're focusing a little bit on the Falcon on this half. And this opens up with Steve is kind of, well, not kind of, he's peering into Sam's apartment, and Sam's got a woman over that was there in the past couple issues, and she's very militant with equal rights between blacks and whites, but she really is at this point she's really anti-white, very strongly anti-white, and Sam of course is very much a proponent of equal rights, but he's much more moderate in terms of working with the establishment, and she really doesn't want any of that at all. In the meantime, Cap is actually listening in on this and kind of feels like he's going to lose Sam as a partner because Sam, to be quite honest, Mike, seems like he's only got one thing on his mind this evening, and it's definitely not politics. He kind of says, okay, well, you know what? I'll let me, give me some time to think about the way you feel, and in the meantime, why don't you, stay over and stuff? And she's like, oh, absolutely not. She's like, you tell me when you're ready to make a decision, and she walks out. Cap walks in, or climbs in the window after that, and says, what's going on or whatever, and he's like, you know what, Sam says, I'm tired of this. I'm getting sneered at by the people in my own community, because I'm looking like a sidekick to you in these complicated times. He's like, I need to make a go of it on my own. He's like, I can't, I can't just follow you around anymore. I'm gonna have to do this solo. And he says, from now on, the Falcon fights alone. And as he's doing this, he's getting undressed. He steps into the bathroom, and he comes out, and he's wearing now his iconic white and red costume for the first time, whereas before he was in that green and yellow one, Mike. So now he's in this famous one that he's had
The
the
red and
recent.
white, yeah.
Yeah, that I love that costume. But
Yeah,
so this, oh, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I like the red and white,
Yeah,
definitely. I
I
mean, 'cause
love
that
this one.
miniseries back in the day was awesome, and
Yeah.
his Mego doll was that costume
Well,
too.
that is exactly that costume.
Yeah.
It's funny at this time,
He had cloth
still.
wings too, interesting enough.
What'd you say?
He had cloth wings. You
Oh,
know,
really?
if you spread his arms out, the wings, you'd see the red
Spread
wing
out.
underneath it. Yeah.
See, at this point, he doesn't have that because he still has no way to fly. He uses what he calls a sky hook, from his one hand that has the glove on it, and it kind of like attaches. It's like a grappling hook almost. It attaches to the side of the building. It pulls him up, and he's able to swing around that way. He has no ability to fly, and hasn't up to this point. Still has Red Wing though. He's been around since his very first appearance. So Cap and Sam, they definitely they don't part on bad terms. They shake each other's hands and say, this is just how Falcon says, this is how it's got to be for the time being. And this kid comes running in, looking for Sam, and he's like, oh my God, it's Captain America and Falcon. And so he says, there's a bunch of creeps that have been loading drugs off on kids, and they're roughing people up. And so Cap immediately starts taking charge, saying, okay, we're going to take care of this. And Sam's like, wait a minute, we just talked about this. This is my neighborhood. I need to do this solo. He's like, you gotta let me take care of this. And Cap apologizes, saying, I just did that by force of habit. You've got this. Good luck. And so Falcon jumps out the window, and he encounters these drug dealers, and pretty easily, beats the crap out of them, as you can well imagine. Goes back to this one kid that almost overdosed, calls him an ambulance, and as the police come and stuff and take care of the drug dealers, and the ambulance comes for the kid. A bunch of people have come out from the neighborhood and looking around, and a couple of people don't recognize him at first because of the new costume. They're like, oh, that's the Falcon, that's the Falcon. And The drug dealers were all white guys, and as a matter of fact, one of the guys in the neighborhood says, "Way to handle those honky hoods, baby." So it looks like all of the community is really getting behind the Falcon. So it feels like he's feeling pretty good that he actually has the community's or the community has his back rather, and that's where
Establishing
this
himself as a hero
as
instead
a
of
hero,
just a
and not just
sidekick, yeah.
like. And then it, very ends that Cap kind of was watching from a rooftop, and he's like, "Well, there it is. I've definitely lost another partner, but that's the last one. I'm gonna have to do this on my own from now on." And that's the end of the issue. It was a really good one. It was the first one with, what's funny is although it's the first issue with his new costume, the issue before that, which was going on with a big riot going on in the city. The covers, if you look at the covers, it has like the figures of Cap and Falcon at the top by the heading where it says Captain America and the Falcon. If you look at issue 143, Mike, it shows his new costume on that cover in that little corner, but he still had the green and yellow costume that entire issue. So it was almost like a spoiler, a full month ahead of time. You're like, "Well, what is this he's wearing?" Because
Yeah,
it doesn't
who is
all
that?
season. Yeah. So I mean, that was kind of funny that they actually did that. I'm sure that was, kind of a goof, in that you could see what his new costume was going to look like a full month before it ever debuted in the actual comic book itself.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
So your journey is in singles that you're reading this, huh?
I'm reading these in
Well,
singles, enjoying the
except
hell
for
out of
the
it.
Tales of Suspense you were reading in
Yes.
a collected edition.
Yeah, because I only have a few Tales of Suspense. I probably have about 20 of the issues
Yeah,
from his
I
first
pick up those when I get the opportunity, like if they show up on Aaron Myers's page or whatever. I'll
year.
grab
Yeah.
them if I don't have them.
I have a coworker that used to buy comics when he was much younger, like in his 20s. And he had a run of Tales of Suspense, and he sold them to me for a pretty good deal. He had from 50, he had issue, I think it was 59, the first one with when Cap shows up as a
Yeah.
co-star, and so he had 59, and he had, like I said, maybe about 20 other issues. So I bought those off from him a few years ago at a pretty good deal. But those are the only ones that I actually own.
Yeah, Aaron keeps showing me like the one issue I keep missing, which is that Hulk on the cover with the Jim Steranko and I
Oh,
just
of Captain America. Yeah,
have
yeah, yeah.
not pulled the trigger on it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Those
that's a yeah,
Steranko issues are they're kind of expensive.
they're pricey. They're pricey. I the ones that the last few that I needed were some of those Steranko ones, and I got them from happened to find them at my LCS. They had them on their wall a while back, and they were selling at a pretty decent price, so that's how I picked up mine.
Yeah. So my next book, I'm going to talk about something that I've already talked about the last episode, but continue to want to explore is G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero.
Nice.
Except I covered issues in the future, and I wanted to go backwards. There was no way for me to get the singles in a fast amount of time because they're so expensive. What I mean is so expensive, I mean per issue, 20 to 30 is a lot
Right,
for
yeah.
if you're getting 20 issues or 30
Yeah, do you
issues.
want to spend
It all adds up, yeah.
$230?
I found the trade and I wanted to learn about what happened prior to the issues that I read. So this is a classic G.I. Joe from IDW. It's a trade paperback. It collects 111 through 123, and I'm going to talk about issues 111 and 112. 111 is cover is drawn by Lee Weeks. And it looks like on some of the characters, he's channeling Kubert, at least on Storm Shadow, at least I think so. And somebody pointed that out to me on Twitter, and I was like, wow, you really are right. It sort of has a Joe Kubert look to it. But this one has a cover of the Ninja Force jumping out of a helicopter, and Ninja Force at this point features a bunch of ninjas in red. They're kind of like the red shirts. And then Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow and Scarlet. Yeah, which the issues I covered, Scarlet was working for Cobra, but Storm Shadow was a good guy, so I didn't go far back enough to figure out where Storm Shadow switched. But this is called Probe and Feet and Feet Fent. I don't know how to pronounce this word. It's FEINT.
Faint,
Faint.
like if you're fainting.
Oh, I feel like you're faint.
Yeah.
So this is takes place after an attack of Cobra did in Bezanine in the Middle East, and they sort of took over, and Tomax and Zamot are there, the two twins,
Yes, I
and
remember them.
they are there with Cobra Commander, and they just took over, and they're gonna imprison, and they captured a lot of the royal family except the Emir, who escaped on a private jet, and he's actually with the Joes. But then there's this guy I never seen before, and I was like, man, how's this guy like talk to Cobra Commander that way? Like, why is he that way? And I was like, what's his name? And he's just Viper. They call him Saw Viper, but Saw I thought was the vehicle that he did. I think Viper is his name. They say he is a Saw Viper, but he doesn't have his own individual name. And this guy's cocky as hell.
Playing with fire.
He's playing with fire, and Cobra Commander lets him. And that's what I don't. All this stuff makes me interested. Like, how does this guy get the balls to talk to Cobra Commander like that?
Right.
Because Cobra Commander yells at him, "Hey, face me when I'm yelling at you." And he says, "Look, I've had a hard day and I don't want to hear it." He tells Cobra Commander that.
God.
He
So
says,
I wonder who this guy is.
"Yeah, this guy's fascinating." He says,
Yeah.
"First off, the Joes have had it in for you ever since you had General Flag knocked off. And furthermore, what are you complaining about anyway? I just wasted five times as many Joes in one day as your entire legions have accounted for in 9 years. I haven't even begun to roll out yet." So that tells you how cocky this bastard is.
I
But
would
not
say.
only did he, at this point, I'm reading it and I'm like, wow, this fucker killed five Joes? And I'm like, well, I wonder who they are. And at this point, I don't know. And then you have some Flint and Lady Jane, which I really have always liked those two. I don't know why, but I
Yeah,
do.
me too.
And I don't know if you know my history with the Joes. I don't know your history of the Joes, but were you getting the Joes as a Marvel comic?
Yeah, so I'm a couple years younger than you,
Yeah.
right? In 1982, that probably made all the difference in the world. I started buying them, I would say with issue 12 or 13 or something, and then I went back in my comic book collecting and I bought most of the issues. And I kept buying it until issue 81, and then I just ended up dropping it. I think, I just started to lose interest in G.I. Joe in general. But back then, initially, I was buying all the figures and the vehicles and stuff like that. And
Wow.
I love G.I. Joe.
So my history is I didn't get into G.I. Joe until IDW bought them, or not bought them, but leased them. And so I was reading a lot of the G.I. Joe that was not Larry Hama, but had pretty sophisticated writing with Mike Costa and Gage and all that stuff. And I really got into the lore. And I started buying the Larry Hama IDW series, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. And I bought the hardcovers, but never really like went into them. And then the hardcovers stopped, and I didn't realize that the trades kept on going. And now that I'm reading it, I wanted to read more. And so we're here in the Lady J and Flint are holding off. They're like luring the Cobra guys into a trap, and they get into the trap, and then the Cobra guys are annihilated because they have all kinds of air support as soon as they hit the ridge, and a lot of characters that I freaking never heard of. But they turn them away, and you even get a little bit. Well, the one guy I have heard of is let's see what they say his name. That cowboy that flies the helicopter. Can't remember his name.
Wild Bill.
Yeah, he's in it, but then the rest of the guys I don't even recognize. But Wild Bill is there, and he's. He came with his own helicopter as a toy, right?
Yeah, my
Like,
brother had that one.
yeah. And they introduced this character called Cool Breeze.
Him,
And
I don't
I'm
remember.
like, this guy's pretty cool. And he's like with the recon team. And he's a new guy, and he's there with Stalker and several other Joes, which I don't recognize too much. But Cool Breeze is a pretty arrogant guy, but a smart guy. He seems pretty smart. So they introduce him. And then you get some conversation and discussion about Ninja Force and Storm Shadow. Storm Shadow just came back from a being stabbed, so he's recouping. And so is Snake Eyes from some other reason, but it didn't say. There's a scene there I liked a lot. Because Lady J is in the Middle East and it's hot. And she goes, "The desert can get downright chilly at night, but I still have the steaming sweats. A firefight can do that." And she's like unbuttoning her shirt. And then some guy says, "Cover yourself, woman. Have you no modesty?" And it's this rebel fighter called Fayod who holds up the entire G.I. Joe squadron. They're like a Middle Eastern. They're trying to fight back the same people. They're trying to fight Cobra, but they don't want G.I. Joe on their land either. And they get captured by this guy, and they have to drop their guns and drop their weapons. And there's some scene in there where you learn the Emir talking to, kind of yelling at the Joes, saying he wants his paintings and all this. And Duke is like, "What are you making demands for? I just lost a lot of my soldiers, and you're talking about your French impressionist art treasures? You know, like shut the hell up." And I like this other scene because they send Ninja Force to infiltrate Cobra or to spy on them because they're celebrating. They just took over, and they're looking through a skylight. Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes are looking through the skylight, and they see that Viper guy, and he's on the table, and he's got like this sexy redhead on his leg and stuff, and he's like, "I just lined them up, Joes, and I blew them away like shooting ducks in a barrel." And Zamot and them are like, "This boar is getting out of hand, Cobra Commander." And Cobra Commander says, "Let him have his fun. How many Joes have you shot?" And he kind of like eggs him on. So it's like, and then it's to be continued the next issue. And so they're spying on in the skylight, and the team that's watching them, Cool Breeze, Stalker, Sneak Peek, what are some of the other guys' names? But Sneak Peek has this huge contraption. It looks like a telescope where he's like spying on them, and he finds night creepers, and I guess they're like ninjas with night goggles for Cobra. And they're coming upon an area where they can see the ninja force, and they don't want them to reveal their identities. Meanwhile, Fayud has Lady J and Flint under the gun. But they, Cool Breeze says, we should help him. We should somehow contact him. And Stalker's like, we can't contact him, you dummy. As soon as we get on this, they'll be on us. They'll know exactly what we're doing. But he comes up with a plan, and it has to do with like deadening the frequencies so they can't radio back and letting Ninja Force attack the Night Creepers. And it sort of works, but Stalker says, he goes, "I had a good idea after all. That jamming saved the mission, Stalker. You should write me up for a medal, man." And Stalker says, "You still don't get it, do you, Mr. Know-it-all Cool Breeze?" And he says, "Well, what don't I get?" That and he says, "That jamming isn't going to go unnoticed. The Cobra Televipers are going to want to know why there was an interruption in comm." And sure enough, they found out. So Stalker knew they had to vacate immediately. And they do know, so that Viper dude, he gets in a helicopter. He's like, "Oh man, I want to go kill some more Joes and then come back and have sex with this woman. I'm gonna go do that." And they get in, the Ninja Force actually attacks the helicopter that the Viper is in. And I don't know if they crashed it or what, but I don't know if that's the end of Viper or they just took it out because I don't see him anymore. But then Cool Breeze thinks that they're coming and he wants to make a sacrifice. He says, "I got you all into this jam. You guys go that way and I'll make a diversion. Like I have the jamming equipment and they'll come and kill me." And he gives his dog tags to Stalker. So he's like sacrificing himself for the Joes so they can get away. And the helicopter comes and puts the light on him, and it's really Ninja Force because they took over the helicopter. I don't think they killed the Viper guy, but I'm not 100% sure. Well, maybe they did. All the guys that are there appear dead. So
It'd be interesting if they just he just died like that after,
yeah, after
getting so
killing all these
vocal.
Joes.
And seemed to be a bigger player from what we could see.
And because Ninja Force came on, they were able to get Lady J and Flint free. So the guy Fayud wasn't in charge anymore, but he steals the gun from Stalker's belt, and he's gonna kill Stalker. And Cool Breeze jumps in front of the bullet and actually takes the bullet, and Snake Eyes kills that rebel Fayud. And then you learn all the guys that died. They're bringing back the dog tags of Cool Breeze, who didn't last long. And you learn that Breaker was killed, Quick Kick, Heavy Metal, Thunder, Crankcase, Crazy Legs, and Doc. And of all those names, I think I knew Breaker and Quick
Breaker was one
Kick.
of the first
Yeah, and
figures,
Quick
yeah.
Kick.
Quick Kick, yeah, he was he an Asian guy with like just he didn't wear a shirt?
Yeah, he
Yeah.
was kind of like Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
I don't know the other ones. Heavy
I knew
Metal.
Doc. He was
Yeah, Doc sounded familiar because he was like one of the smart medic guys, wasn't he?
I know those because I had the figures of those individuals, and the rest of them I'm not familiar with. Crankcase, maybe. I'm not sure. I'd have to see what he
Yeah.
looks.
But so
The name.
you learned about all the guys that the Saw Viper killed, and it's like, wow, if the Saw Viper is dead, he really came on the scene as this arrogant dude and then got killed.
Yeah. Wow. That's
So
pretty cool. You're making me. You know what? As you're talking, I'm like searching. I own like I said, one through whatever it was, 81, except I never managed to find number 9 or 10. So now I'm like going through and looking to see if I can find 9 and 10 online for a decent price. And
Yeah.
then I mean, it's there's way too much to for me to want to spend the money from, to get the rest of them all the way up through what
Yeah.
I think 155 was the last
Well,
issue, but
one way is to go do the route I did. If you want to read it, or
I
like
would love to
Chris pointed out,
revisit
is
these.
digitally, if you joined, what is it, Comixology Unlimited, you can read the whole thing.
See, that's a
So
good idea. When I'm ready to do that, I should do that.
that's the cheapest route, but man, I'm really enjoying this, and I'm gonna try to get a full run of this as time goes on, but it'd probably be an issue here, because of what it is, and if
Well, yeah.
running across them is kind of difficult once you get past 100. One through a
Oh,
hundred
100%.
you could find, but once you get into the later 90s, they're harder to find. And those like last issues are even worse. They go up in price because the print run was like virtually nothing. And
Yeah,
that's the
and
time frame that I want to read though, is the late 90s or the mid 90s, because that's like my sweet spot right now. So, I'm reading Youngblood and stuff, so it's like I want to read the mid 90s stuff. And
it's just so amazing to me that even though now it's with IDW, the fact that Larry Hama's still writing these stories,
yeah.
it's
He's
amazing to me.
actually got a. He's the next writer on X-Men Legacy, too.
Oh, is he? That's
Yeah,
cool.
so.
I really liked his back to something that's not retro, but his Iron Fist mini that he did
Yeah, I
this year.
haven't finished that yet.
Yeah, he did a
Yeah.
really good job.
I like his plotting because he's old
Me too.
school. Like,
Yes.
he's old school, and he's like one of the only ones that's writing left. Like,
Yeah.
that's in this style.
Yeah,
Unless you
right.
go to Kickstarter and get some of the Kickstarters that, but some of these writers are just, God, they just don't know how to write comics like they did back in the day, which
No, they're
is
writing
so
them
much
for
like a
as a
soap
complete
opera, because
story.
when you watch a soap opera, I'm not into soap operas, but when I do see Barb or her mom watching a soap opera, there's like five threads going on, and each
Oh
one
yeah.
is its own story.
And
And the.
there's never like a complete end.
Right,
When one
when one's
might end,
ending, three
the
more
other
have
one's in the middle.
started. Right, when
Yeah.
one ends, three more have started, and there's all these threads, and that's what drew you to these comics, is there wasn't just one single thread. And now that they write from the trade, it's pretty much one single thread.
Yeah.
You got the villain and you got the hero, and I tend to like the ones that have all these like inner complexities
I'm
that link
totally with
together,
you.
but they're totally separate characterizations and spotlights. And one thing I will say that he's a master of that a lot of people just can't do, like even a lot of modern writers, is he's able to juggle huge casts of characters
Yes.
like successfully and make you interested in them, even if they're just in there for like two panels.
Yeah.
And it's like he makes those characters like make a difference in the issue, even if it's just two panels. Like they did something, or they're there for a reason.
I agree. I was going to say when I first started really getting into reading Spider-Man, it was David Michelinie, I believe. And I mean, he used to write like that, at least for Spider-Man as well.
Yeah,
Like there's
yeah.
always something ongoing that you couldn't wait to read the next issue for, because there's always some hanging plot thread that you're going to learn more about in the next issue.
Yeah, so yeah, this I really like the Joes. Like, I understand like people like Keith Knudson and like a lot of people that I met through the Star Joes podcast why G.I. Joes are like such a big deal, even from a toy perspective. Like I don't have one single G.I. Joe toy, but I get it. Like, this is like seeing like the Easy Company, but there's a lot of them. Like,
Yeah.
You know, Sergeant Rock and Easy Company. Easy Company, you had your hardcore guys, and there was always like two red shirts they'd introduce. But this is like character after character, and they have a lot of redundancy. You know, like we were talking about the recon guys, there's a lot of guys that could do similar activities, but.
I it must have made an impression on me because I still can remember distinctly in my head the first time I ever saw G.I. Joe action figures at the toy store. I remember standing, like I can picture it in my head. I can remember standing there looking at the figure because there was only like a handful that in that first wave, and like looking through and trying to figure out which one I wanted to buy. And I ended up, Stalker was my very first G.I. Joe action figure.
Yeah, my brother got into a couple of them, but he never kept with it. So I think he had a Stalker and Duke and maybe a Storm Shadow, but
My God, Mike, when I tell you, oh my God, that was like, I bought Transformers. I had some Transformers for sure, but compared to G.I. Joe, I mean, I had so much. It was Star Wars and G.I. Joe, really.
yeah.
Those were the two properties I was getting toys of the most.
Well, I like G.I. Joe a lot more because it's still hard for me to latch on to a robot. Like, I don't know why, but it is. Yes, I like C-3PO and R2 as anybody else, but these big robots, I just never.
Oh, that's for the Transformers, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were cool. They were
But,
just
like, the
cool
soldiers,
to
like, I got in.
transform and stuff.
Yeah, I got into this Cool Breeze character. I thought he was good, and he made like two sacrifices in the same book, and one killed him. The first sacrifice is he didn't want everybody to find the recon group, so he's like, "You go that way, and I'll have this jamming equipment, and they'll come and kill me." And he knew he was gonna die. He threw his dog tags, and he was gonna make a sacrifice, but didn't die because Ninja Force had already taken over that helicopter. But then the guy that yells at him, like Stalker in this whole issue is yelling at him like being a rookie and you're arrogant and you make all these stupid mistakes and you're not thinking, and he's yelling at him the entire time. He saved Stalker, like he saved his life. And Stalker's the imbecile that let this guy grab his gun, you know, out of his holster to shoot him.
I wonder, did they have a Cool Breeze action figure?
I don't
Because if he
know.
only came and went, I don't know if they would have done that.
Yeah, there's probably a
Well,
lot of people I could ask because I there's a lot of G.I. Joe fans, but I've always liked it.
nope, it doesn't look like it. It
Yeah, no
looks
Cool
like they're
Breeze.
custom. Yeah, they're all custom. And I did a search. They're all like custom made.
What I want to know is that Viper guy die because he just had like I'm gonna look up Saw Viper and see if there's a toy for that.
What did he
Saw
have? Metal arms?
Viper, G.I. Joe, yeah.
Why did he have metal arms?
Yeah, this is the dude. If you look at his toy, he's the dude that killed was released carded as a ninth series. He's discontinued in 1991. But anyway, I don't know if this guy, he sounds like just like
Oh, Viper.
Stormtrooper, right? Like,
Yeah.
but I liked him because of his arrogance. Like, I'm like, why is this guy so cocky? He killed all these Joes and then he might be dead. Like, how they introduced a character to slaughter five, six
Right.
Joes and then get killed. Like, it was so weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Oh, interesting. That's pretty cool, though.
Seems like they gave him another name called Overkill, but I'm not sure if it's the same guy.
Yeah.
I gotta find out more about the Saw Viper because I wanna know. He's got a cool toy, that's for sure. but he sounds like it's like Stormtrooper. Like when I bought my first Star Wars figures, I wanted to have more than one Stormtrooper.
Yeah, me too, right.
And I wanted more. Like I had like five or six Stormtroopers and five or six Rebel fighters and snow troopers, and I had more than one. So this guy, the Saw Viper, sounds like I don't know if he's unique. His name just is so weird. If they had just called him Viper,
Yeah.
but I think Saw is a vehicle.
I thought so too.
Yeah, but I don't know much. I'm learning. So if you're a G.I. Joe fan and you want to tell me more about the Saw Viper, I'd like to know. So hit me up on Twitter or get in touch with me on email.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right, my next, I only did two, just thinking that if Chris was here, we wouldn't have time to cover more than that, but this one I actually did go back and review because if you remember last time we recorded, my internet connection went out, went back on, and then went out permanently for the next few hours.
Yeah.
So I had been ready to cover another book, so I went back and kind of reviewed it. And it's Green Lantern number 51 from 1994 with Ron Mars and who's the Darryl Banks.
Yeah.
So this is just after the end of Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner becomes Green Lantern.
So is this where he goes to pee in the alley and the guardian comes down,
That
gives him the
happens
ring?
in 50 at the very
Oh,
end of
okay.
yeah. So this one opens up with him being thrown through a plate glass window of a lingerie store. And he's fighting this electrical armored villain called Ohm, H, or I mean OHM. And he's fighting him in the streets, and it just picks up right with the action, and he's trading blows with the guy. And the last panel is he's almost knocked Kyle out, and Kyle's kind of kneeling on the ground, and the guy raises both fists and comes down on his head. And then it flashes back to the night before, and you've got Kyle knocking on his ex-girlfriend's door. Her name's Alex, and she reluctantly lets him in, and he starts talking to her, and she's like, "Why are you showing up? Like, we broke up last week, so what's the big deal?" And she turns around, and he's wearing his classic, the classic version of the Green Lantern costume, basically, the exact same thing that Hal Jordan wore. And she's like, "Oh my God, what are you kidding me here?" And so they basically he explains everything that happened, and just like you had said, he went into the alley behind the club to, Mike in quotes, get some air, and a blue midget in a red dress appeared, and she of course is like, "Are you what are you talking about?" However, she's a little bit more well read or what have you about worldly events, because he's like, "I don't know. He gave me this ring and I put it on and this suit appeared." And she's like, "Are you really not making this connection with Green Lantern?" He's like, "What?" So he has no idea what a Green Lantern is or who Green Lantern was. And it's up to Alex to explain who Green Lantern was. Like, you're wearing his costume, and she is a photographer for the newspaper, and so she's actually taken pictures of Hal Jordan before, and she's familiar what his costume looked like, and he had a ring that did different things. So he's like, "Oh yeah, I think I remember that." He's like, "He can do stuff with his ring and fly." And so he's like, "Wait a minute, let me try something." And he Sure enough, he flies right up. He was sitting on the couch. He flies right off the couch. He's like, "Holy smokes, this is terrific! I'm going to be a hero." And she's like, "You don't, you can't even pay your rent. How are you going to be a hero?" And he's like, "Listen, this is going to be my ticket, to a new start. Like, I can do this. I can definitely do this. Like, come on, but I can't do it alone. I need you with me." And reluctantly, she finally agrees to get back together with Kyle, and said, "Okay, you're sleeping on the couch tonight, but we'll talk some more tomorrow." So that morning, she wakes him up. She's going out. She wants to take some pictures because some nut in an armored suit is tearing up Rodeo Drive. So he's like, "Well, why don't you come with me?" So they drive out there, and sure enough, flash. Now we're almost to present, and that ohm is tearing up the street. She jumps out of her car with her camera and is going to take some pictures. She tells him not to do anything stupid like he usually does and just sit in the car and wait. Of course, that lasts about 2.5 seconds before he puts the ring back on and changes into Green Lantern and comes flying past Alex. And she can't believe it and can believe it at the same time. He shows up right in front of Ohm and introduces himself as Green Lantern, and they start fighting, and that's where we pick it up, where we left off. And Alex shouts to him, "Protect yourself for God's sake." And he's like, yeah, I gotta remember, to actually utilize this ring." He thinks of a shield and manages to block the attack by Ohm. And so then he actually does start making constructs, and still he's not using them to his artist ability. They're basically like the Hal Jordan constructs. First the just a basic shield, then like a big, like basic, like not even a bat, but just like a big cylinder that he knocks Ohm down with. And then with the actual ray itself, he cuts the suit open and pulls this little guy that's in there, and knocks him out with one punch. So Alex comes running over, gets a bunch of pictures, and he's Kyle is quite arrogant at this point, believe it or not. And he's like, I'm great. I kicked his butt. Did you see? And everyone's like, "Green Lantern, Green Lantern." So people are all around him telling him how wonderful it is, and he's saying, "Thank you, thank you. I did my heroic duty." And Alex pulls him away, and like, we need to get somewhere a little less crowded. So the next scene is that evening on the beach, and the two of them are talking, and it's Alex's idea. Alex says, you're wearing this costume, but it was the previous Green Lantern's costume. It's not your costume. I think you need to create your own identity." And he's like, "Yeah, that makes sense. I'm a graphic designer." So she goes, "Well, go for it." And he's like, "All right, well, there's no one around. Let me think about this." And poof, you got the costume that you would become familiar with, Kyle Rayner wearing with that faceplate and the black, primarily black torso, and with the green armored arms and bottom and lower legs. So he's got his own costume now. And Alex is impressed. There's a quick epilogue that's just a few pages at the slab, the maximum security prison, and there's an alarm going off, and people are troops are running all over the place, and out of nowhere, a hand grabs the head of one of the troops and kind of smushes it, and it's a full page spread saying, "Green Lantern, I will kill Superman and the one called Green Lantern," and it's a Mongol. He's escaped from the slab, and so he's going to be encountering Kyle Rayner soon. And if you know your recent of that time recent Green Lantern history, that's kind of what prompted Hal Jordan's breakdown, is that Mongol totally destroyed Hal Jordan's city home city of Coast City. And later on, that's when Hal started to kind of break down and kind of try to bring the city back to life and so on and so forth, and managed to, then he took all the rings and all of that. So Mongo's back, and now he wants he's gonna come after the new Green Lantern, although he doesn't know that it's not the same Green Lantern at this point. So yeah, this was a good one.
Yeah. I used to love Kyle's faceplate, but now I think it's awkward.
I agree. I think it's very awkward. It looks like he doesn't have a nose.
Yeah.
I
But it
don't
looked
know.
cool
I don't
back
know
in the
how that would
day. In the
feel.
back in the day, it was like, hey, that's cool.
Yeah. His nose must be flattened right against his face to wear that thing. Oh
Yeah.
my God, very uncomfortable. Well, you got anything else?
Nope, that's it. I kind of had four issues, even though I,
Yeah, you did. You covered a lot of issues,
I'm
that's for
probably
sure.
gonna be reading some G.I. Joe today.
Oh, that sounds good.
I started watching this movie this morning. I was gonna watch my Star Wars Bad Batch because I still have Fridays, and when I was on the elliptical, and there was something on TV called, what was it called? Employee of the Month. And it was in
Employee
a
of the month.
comedy.
Huh.
And it, I thought it was one of the actors I liked a lot, but it turns out it's not. He just looks a lot like him. But it's about a Sam's Club, and these two guys are competing for this actually Jessica Simpson, but they're competing for her. And also this award, which is Employee of the Month, and it's actually pretty good.
I this sounds vague. I just looked it up. It's vaguely familiar. I mean, I definitely
Well, it
have
has
seen
like
it, but I
Andy.
kind
It
of
has
remember when it came
a
out.
lot of comedians that you've seen in movies, but they're not like stars on their own. Like it's got Andy Dick, I think, in it, and there's a couple of other like comedians that if you saw them,
Dane
you'd
Cook
know.
is the one of the main
Yeah,
guys,
Dane
right?
Cook is the guy that the main guy, but I thought he looked a lot like somebody else. But it is it's pretty entertaining. And then there was another show that came on, and I'll probably watch that. So I'll probably watch a lot of TV today, as I'm drinking and not eating.
Yeah, you gotta keep your mind
Either
off of
that, or
watch some
I'll
entertaining stuff.
either that, or I'll have to sleep through it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that's a good way to do
That's
it
the other
too, to be honest.
option. Have no energy, so I just might
Yeah,
want to sleep.
take a little nap.
Yeah.
You know what I forgot to mention last weekend? We watched a movie with the kids. It was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I'm sure you've seen it, The Black Hole.
Oh yeah, the Disney one? Yeah, that's
Yeah,
cool.
watched that with the kids.
I
That
haven't
was,
watched it since the theater, to tell you the
yeah.
truth.
Oh my God, Mike, you haven't seen it since it came out in the theater?
Yeah, it's been a
It's
long
on Disney
time.
Plus. You should definitely watch it again. I love it. I had those action figures too.
It was a dark movie.
It's creepy.
Seeing that
It's a
as a kid
creepy
and
movie.
comparing it to like other things.
It was creepy because
It was
they
creepy for a Disney movie for sure.
Yeah.
Like way creepy. Because that the villain is pretty dark.
Yeah, very dark. Yeah, I totally
Yeah.
agree. The kids handled it well. Zach wants to watch Jaws with me, so I'm gonna see if we can actually get away with. I think about like how old I was when I saw Jaws. I definitely was that young, if not a little younger.
Yeah, I like Jaws a lot.
Me too.
I can't believe Martin doesn't.
He's insane. That's
That used
insane.
to be one of the things he'd talk about is how he didn't like Jaws.
Jaws.
I'm like,
Oh my
how could you
God, it's
not
so
like
good.
Jaws?
I know. But yeah, so we're trying to introduce them to some older
Yeah.
movies. I think Raiders of the Lost Ark will be one of the next ones that we show
You
them.
need to watch Piranha 3D Triple
Not
D.
with the kids, though.
Not with the kids, though. But that's pretty funny, man.
I think it'd be too awkward to watch with them.
No, don't. Maybe when they're 18.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool. But yeah, so tonight I'm going to watch Grindhouse, all 3 hours.
Yeah,
So that'll be fun.
it's nothing now that you sat through Justice League. What do you call it? Zack Snyder's Justice League.
That's true, but we did break that up into 2 days, I believe.
Yeah, I did too. It was too much.
Yeah.
It's too much
That's
based on the style of film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. All right. Well, you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger on Twitter. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Chris is at Mythmaking ETC. And you can find us at geekbrunchpodcast.com or on Facebook under Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. And we'll be back next time. I think what I'm going to do, Rob, is I'm going to take the second part of the episode, move it forward, and take the first part of the episode and move it into the future, and that way it'll be like more like a regular episode, but people could sit and listen to our chit chat if they want to.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. It's not we like catching up, but it's not
That's
retro.
not retro, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even close.
No.
We were talking about contemporary film. At least a lot of it
Exactly.
was.
Yeah.
All right, well, you have a good one, Rob, and I'll talk to you later.
You too. Good luck tomorrow,
All
Mike.
right, thanks, man. Bye.
Okay. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
This is Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm doing okay.
How's it going, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, no complaints.
Yep. If I'm grouchy, it's 'cause I can't eat today.
Oh no, this is it, huh? You having it tomorrow?
That's right. I can drink lots of tea though, which is good.
Yeah.
I like tea.
Just like unsweetened iced tea, or
No,
can you
I'm
have
a
sugar
very pretentious with tea now. I get all kinds of teas.
Hot tea?
No, I don't like hot tea. I like cold tea.
Okay.
I think I'm drinking like honey bee pollen tea right now.
But do you put sugar in it?
No.
Okay.
I put sweetener.
Oh, you do put some sort of
The
sweetener
pink
in there.
stuff in there, yeah, the killed.
Gotcha. So that'll be a lot of fun for you tomorrow,
Yeah, I'll be thinking of you.
I'm not sure how to take that. Yeah, well, I'm 49, so it'll be
Oh,
coming
see
soon.
you next year. It's coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Oh man.
I hear
So how?
it's not too bad if they don't find anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they do find some polyps, they'll just remove them. If it's in and out, the
Do they
worst
re
part is the prep. I mean, not being
Do they
able to eat
remove them
for a
right
day.
away? Like right
Yeah,
there?
it depends on what they find, I think. If it's
Yeah.
just, they'll remove them and test them and see if they're what they are.
Yeah. Well, hopefully everything is A-okay and you don't have anything to worry about.
Yep.
That'd be ideal.
So you saw A Quiet Place too.
Watched it last night.
Oh, you saw it at home?
Yeah.
Oh, so you watched it on Paramount Plus?
I did.
Oh yeah, I was surprised it came there. Like I didn't think it would go there as fast as it did. Like
Pretty quick,
it's
huh?
still at the theaters.
Yeah, what is it, about a month? Is it a month in, or I don't think it's much more than that.
Maybe a month, maybe three
Yeah.
weeks. I don't know. It's
Yeah,
not
it's pretty quick.
too long, yeah.
Yeah, really quick. But yeah, a lot of it was filmed here in our local area.
Yeah, it was really well done. I like it.
It was really it's you I mean obviously you've seen the first one too, right?
But I didn't think you had Paramount Plus because I didn't think you could watch Evil.
No, I did a trial.
Oh, so you can watch Evil now.
Yeah, I watched a couple of those too.
Oh, did you get all the way to the elevator one?
don't think so. I think we've watched three, so maybe that's is that the
Did you
newest one? I
get
don't.
to the one where they sort of found that little cabinet underneath his apartment? Yeah. I
I
find
saw
it
that.
so creepy though how they like they spike his computer, you know, so he's like can be monitored and then he's like looking at it
But he's looking at them.
like he's looking right at him like oh my God, that guy creeps me out. He just creeps me out.
I feel like they're like last year, especially at the beginning of the season. It wasn't that long of a season, but at the beginning, they were kind of like explaining away stuff, but also leaving enough doubt in your mind that maybe it could be something more than just something that you can rationally explain. But now this season, I feel like they're just full blown. Okay, this is not, natural phenomenon that you can explain. They've kind of like
Yeah, I agree.
went that direction.
But it
But
was already like that last season with certain things,
oh
like
yeah.
the virtual reality and
Yes.
the what do you call it?
Creepy.
The dead girl that took the kids to the grave site. I mean, that
Yeah.
was creepy as hell.
Yes, it was like the
And then,
Halloween
yeah,
episode.
the whole virtual reality and yeah, I don't know. It's
That one
like
was the creepiest, I think, to me. That was just
Well,
so,
I think
oh
you're in
God.
for a treat for the next one.
Yeah.
It's called Elevator something or another. The Elevator Game. It's really it's probably the best episode of this season so far.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you and you saw it already got renewed for next season. So
Yeah, I'm
that's so
stoked
that
about
we already
that.
know it's coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about, how it wraps up or something. But yeah, but the Quiet Place too, that was really good. The first one, I feel like he does a great job at like giving you some, there's a lot of emotion behind it. They're just not It's just not like tense or scary or whatever. There's a lot of feeling behind the whole those movies too, which I think makes them even better.
Yeah. You get a lot of backstory with this one. You learn a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's. It still has that intensity to it. Like
Very much so.
stressful
Yes.
situations.
Very much so. Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then the night before, Stacy had watched it while she was like working from home. She just like puts things on as she's working, so she's only half paying attention. But she really liked it, and I finally got around to we watched it together, and that was The Old Guard on Netflix.
Oh yeah, that's really good.
That was fantastic too.
I took you a while to get there. Yeah, they're supposedly filming the sequel to that.
Oh, that's good. I've never read any of the comics.
You don't get too many Image, do you?
I get a handful. Like, no, I mean, I get not like you do, but I
Yeah, but
probably get
like
like.
Greg Rucka, you'd think he would be a draw for you.
Well, back when that was coming out and stuff, there definitely I wasn't getting as much Image.
Yeah.
Now I probably get a little bit more, maybe like 20 monthly books plus like mini series and stuff, but
Yeah.
this one, I don't know, something about the title and maybe even the, I don't know what the comic book covers look like off the top of my head, but I thought it was like more of going to be like a fantasy. No, I guess not from the covers. I don't know. Just the name of it made me think that it was like a fantasy thing, and
No,
it's
it's more like a immortal mercenary type thing.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was very
People that
surprised
get
when I started
paid
watching
throughout
it.
history to do stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's how the issue one opens up. Like you're right into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was very similar to the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
You know how they all drew him into that room and just
Yes,
open
yeah.
fire.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
was like, oh
that's
my God,
sort
what is
of like
going
what
on?
happens early in the issues.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it was kind of cool coming into it with no knowledge at all, because I had
Yeah.
no idea what to expect.
And then we
It was.
finished Loki. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I like it.
I thought that villain speech was like the worst villain speech. It lasted forever, man. It just like literally killed me.
Yeah, it
And
was.
it didn't go nowhere. And I felt like I was like in Groundhog Day living the same episode over and over and over again and never getting anywhere. And I still feel that way. Like, I still feel like I haven't really gone anywhere.
So I guess he's supposed to be Kang.
I that other character he played is a character. And
Yeah.
there's a lot of Kangs that, you know, there's it could be anything. It could be a version of Kang,
From
but
what I
it
read is that he's already been cast as Kang in the new
Oh,
Ant-Man
the
movie.
Ant-Man, yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
so
they had his
that's the only reason why I say
neck.
that.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know that character does exist, the man, whatever they want to call him,
Yeah.
the man at the end of time or whatever the hell he is. That character is from Thor. So
See, I didn't realize that until I read the some of the like reviews or something like or whatever. 'Cause I had no idea. I never heard of him before.
yeah, that's why the. I mean, you could just look at the speculator site and you get a site, like, because all the Kang books are through the roof.
Yeah, I
I'm
saw
glad
that.
I bought his first appearance, like, 2 years ago
Yeah, that's
when it
one that I
still
don't
wasn't
not
too
really have.
high.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
think Martin bought that like a year or two ago.
I don't know if he
Didn't he?
pulled the. I don't know if he pulled the. I don't know if he pulled the plug on that.
He was, I know he
I
was
know he was
looking into
looking
it,
at
but
that one and the Rama Tut because he's that Fantastic Four is kind of like him.
yeah.
But yeah, that series I could have done without. But Black Widow I really liked. Like it was one of my favorite movies. I thought the spyness of it I loved, and I loved the family dynamic because I'm drawn to dysfunctional teams, like teams
Yeah.
that just are not functional. They're just not. And
Yeah,
the family dynamic of that family was it was just amazing.
Natasha's such a poser.
I love that. I love when her sister came down and did that same pose.
Yes. That was cool. And for spoiler territory, the end of the after credits. So I don't know
Of
what her
what,
name is.
Loki?
No, for
Oh.
Black Widow.
Oh yeah, Contessa
I'm gonna keep
Venuessa,
calling her Elaine
whatever.
Benes.
Elaine Benes, yeah.
Elaine is like forming her own Avengers team.
No, but she's so Elaine-ish. Like
Yes,
that's
she
what
is.
I like about it. Just like Owen Wilson is
Is
just
Owen
like
Wilson.
Owen Wilson. They don't play. They don't have to play themselves. Just like Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool. He just plays Ryan Reynolds. He
Yeah.
doesn't have to play Deadpool. He just all he's that in all his movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was
They don't have to have a range, they just
No, I love her though. She's great.
Yeah. I my favorite scene in there, like emotionally, I just loved was the family dinner table thing. Like right before all shit like broke the fan. I just thought that was like amazingly well shot, you know.
Yeah.
In terms of characterization and stuff. And the Red Guardian, the guy that played the Red Guardian who was Hellboy, like the second Hellboy, he was awesome. I mean,
He was fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic.
he almost like guided the scene when he was on the scene. Like he controlled it. Like he was the one that you were paying attention to.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. He was very, very good. I don't know if you watched Stranger Things. He's the sheriff in
No,
Stranger
I
Things.
didn't watch Stranger Things. It's one of the things that I'll get to eventually. I'm still on that Star Wars, Clone Wars. I'm on season 5 now, and
Wow.
I have 6 seasons, and they're long seasons too, so I still got a ways to go.
What are we? We're watching the second season of Black Summer.
Oh, I want to get on that because I was so high on man, that was it the penultimate one in season 1 or was it the last one where they're like in that scene where they're like they all have machine guns and they're like marching to the building
Yeah,
and
that's
it
the
feels
last
like
episode.
a video game.
Yeah, it's the last
Oh
episode.
God,
Yeah.
it's like amazingly well shot. Like
Yeah, I
it's
remember because
one of the best shot like zombie things I've ever seen. Like
that's a really good show. The everything that they do with that, it's very it's done. It's almost the and I don't mean this as a negative on either side. They're just two ways of doing things, which is I appreciate. It's almost like the anti
Walking
Walking Dead.
Dead.
Yeah, it's a
Walking
lot
Dead
of
has
like
like a
action.
I think Walking Dead has more of a pretentious aura to it, the way it's shot and stuff.
Yeah, I
Like
totally
and then
agree.
things are out of sequence and I this one is just
It's
it's
much
just
more of a soap opera
it's
than
more of a
Black
soap
Summer.
opera and it's better. This is yeah, this one's more like action and
Yeah.
plot wise it's a little more interesting to me. Like
I agree. Yeah.
I didn't know it was from that sci-fi series either. It's a spin-off
Of what?
of is it Z World or Z Land
Oh,
or
is it really Z Nation?
yeah, Z Nation, thank you.
I never saw Z Nation, so I
Yeah,
had
it's
no
by the
idea.
same creators. It's a
Oh, wow.
spin-off.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
Yeah. I don't think that one. I think there's a lot more budget behind Black Summer than Z Nation, though. Like,
Z Nation, was that sci-fi?
yeah.
Sci-fi Network? Yeah. That's part of it too, is that, sci-fi usually doesn't have the budget that like Netflix has.
Yeah. I watched a horror movie, called Phobias that was interesting. I liked it. I don't think a lot of other people liked it because they gave it like it was like 2.3 on
Oh, wow.
on what do you call it, IMDb.
Yeah, that's really low.
It,
Like a horror
it
and stuff, it's
it
like
felt
you.
like it felt it was like a creep show. Like it was like a bunch of little segments about phobias, and they all led to the same crazy house, and I kind of liked it. Like I really liked it.
That's cool.
It's
That
like
when did
the
you watch
fear of
that?
guns, the fear of perfection, the fear of robots, the fear of there was all kinds of these different fears, and they had all these segments, and they all kind of like tied together. So we watched it yesterday. It was on Hulu.
Okay. I see Macy Gray was in it.
Yeah, her story was the creepiest, I thought. I
Oh,
mean,
really?
yeah, hers was the fear of perfection, and it was she was definitely lost her mind. But it has like the aura to it where I could see why people don't like it, but I liked it. I thought it was well done in terms of, I mean, some stories were better than others, but I like that kind of thing. I like that creep show type format.
Yeah.
It's like reading our eerie or creepy or creeps or
Exactly.
yeah, it was good.
That's cool. I'm still doing the Quentin Tarantino thing. I was actually thinking of I should have watched Grindhouse last night. I could have covered it today, but I didn't. That's when we watched Quiet Place, but I watched Inglourious Basterds last weekend.
Oh yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. You didn't get the Stuntman Mike though. God, I love that movie. That is such a shot. That is such a well shot movie.
Which wait,
I was listening
which
to
one? Grindhouse or
Grindhouse with
that
yeah,
you
the one
yeah
with
oh.
Stuntman Mike.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that tonight, I think. I got
Yeah.
tomorrow off, so I'm gonna watch it.
Oh, good. I have tomorrow off too, but for other reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to the what is it, Malax or whatever the hell it is.
When do you have
I
to
have to
drink that?
drink that at like noon.
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta start doing that and popping the pills and flushing my system and
I heard that
not.
that stuff tastes terrible.
Yeah, I gotta. I'm gonna drink it with Powerade, and I heard from Barb because she had it done. Just if you just instead of like just drinking it, like chugging it, like
Yeah.
just take it down as fast as you can. And
It
that's
would make
probably what
sense.
I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
But
Well,
yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on streaming. I can't
there's too
believe.
much. I
Yeah,
have a
it's like,
list. I
yeah,
keep a list.
I'm overwhelmed, and I feel like I do have to have a list so I don't like drop something on the floor, you know?
Yeah.
Because
I
I
don't want
have
to
so many
accidentally
on.
forget something just because I have so
Yeah.
many other options. Yeah.
I really wished you to watch The Conjuring, though. It was free on HBO Max.
I saw The Conjuring.
Huh?
I've seen all the Conjurings.
The new one?
Yeah.
Oh, you saw The Devil?
Yeah, The Devil Made Me Do It.
Oh my God, I like that one.
See, I didn't like it as much. I thought it relied too heavily on or I shouldn't say that. Not that it relied on anything. It was more of a criminal procedural than a horror thing for me, and I wanted something more like of the
I
first.
loved it because it was more grounded in truth, like
It
based on a true
100% was.
story.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess what you go
See,
in with
when you
my
put,
expectations.
in terms of horror for me, the closer you can get to truth, the scarier it is for me. Like when it crosses that line where this could be probable, like evil, like you're always thinking like, oh, this can't be real, but then they make you think it is, and
Yeah.
that stuff scares me. And what I liked about that Conjuring is the way they portrayed it. Yeah, it's a trial, but it really did start as a possession. Like if you go Google
Yeah.
it that guy really went to jail, but there was an incident with that kid with possession where those two guys, those that husband and wife team went to that possession, and they documented a transfer of possession. That's
Wow.
freaky shit, man.
It is.
I
It is.
that is freaky shit. And yes, it's not probably not as extreme. Like when that boy like flips like backwards where his appendages just
Yeah.
and his head
Yeah.
just cocks back.
Yeah.
That is scary as hell. I mean, possession to me is freaky. I think that's why evil is so appealing to me.
You know
Like
what I wanted to do?
zombies don't scare me. Zombies, they're it's not scary. It's more anxiety they give me because you get in situations where you're like, well, how would I get out of this? You feel like you're boxed in. But like possession and stuff, that scares the hell out of me. Like one of my scariest movies is The Entity, and that was about like ghost rape, and that has like documented things where bruises would just appear on this woman. It's scary.
Don't think I've seen
So
that one.
that, scary stuff like that just freaks me out. I thought this Conjuring was my favorite, but maybe we tend to think different.
Well, it depends on what you're going in for as well. Like I said, I had expectations of more of a more heavily relying on supernatural and not as
But
and don't get me wrong, it was
there was a lot
supernatural,
of
but
supernatural in it, and that I mean that there was a whole like witch behind it. And that's the other
oh.
thing I loved about it is like it drew upon like religion. Like that priest had that daughter that he hid forever. That's scary shit.
I don't know. It didn't hit me the right way for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't
But
know.
you know what I do want to do?
What?
I'd love to. It's not around at this point, but I wish that it was so we could go up and visit the real life Warren Museum, and go see Annabelle.
Oh yeah.
It was
I would
the
like to
real
do
museum.
that, and then I really want to go to, I don't know if you've seen the movie Winchester, but
No, but
I
oh.
really want to visit the Winchester house.
And I think you can do that, right?
Yeah, you can. Because that woman was, she sort of lost her mind towards the end, kind of like Hearst. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to
Yeah.
Hearst Castle.
No, I haven't,
It's amazing. Like, I saw that as a kid and I was amazed,
but
'cause I took the tour of Hearst Castle. Like, I love touring like celebrity stuff. Like, I went to the Unsinkable Molly Brown's house in Denver, and toured that. But like the Winchester, and that has haunting stories to it. And then we went to the place where Stephen King wrote The Shining.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. That Warren Museum shut down a few years ago. I think it was getting too much business because of the first movie.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess, in a regular residential neighborhood. You know, it's
Yeah.
literally part of their house.
So the
So
people didn't
they well
want to
they
do
had
it.
a shut it the government shut it down. They're like, this is a residential neighborhood. We can't have
Why didn't they
like
just move it?
commercial. That's what they were working on, and then the woman actually died in real life, like the next year. So it kind of like sat in limbo. And I did read online that her son-in-law has possession of, not is possessed by, but has possession of Annabelle and is keeping it safe. I would love to actually see that doll in real life.
I don't know, man. That's some
No,
creepy
you wouldn't
stuff.
want to. I if
No,
they let
I do.
if
I
they
do. I've gone on haunted tours and stuff like that where you like want to see something, but at the same time you don't. Because your mind wants to rationalize all of it. At least my mind does. Like this can't possibly be real.
See, I don't, and I'm with you. I don't really think that it. If they allowed me to hold Annabelle, I would hold it and get it and take a picture of it with me. Because I'm just that convinced that it's not real.
Yeah, and
I
then we don't see Rob anymore.
know, exactly. It'd be cool
Don't know if I'd go that far.
though.
Yeah, but the Winchester house has like stairs that go nowhere, and the rooms are weird looking, and like I just would love to
So
go
her
on
deal
that.
was something like that it would keep the spirits at bay if she never stopped having the house built, right?
Well,
As
right,
long as she
because
was allowed, alive, I mean.
she felt that her husband was responsible for the death of many, like
Because you
because of
invented the
the
rifle, right?
gun. Yeah, the
Yeah.
gun. So she had to build this house to protect herself from from the dead.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good movie. I would recommend The Winchester,
I
but
have to watch that. I haven't seen that one. And I remember when
I
it
mean,
came out, just never got around to
it's like slow, but it's cool.
it.
Well, you have to like history. Me and you like different horror movies, I think. I
I
think we're
love
on different
history, though.
spectrum. This I like. That's why I like The Conjuring, because it is history. Like,
Yeah, I
the
see what
stuff
you're
that
saying.
gets closer to reality is the stuff that I like. I mean, I like vampire movies as much as anything, but I mean that Willem Dafoe vampire movie, what was that one called? Shadow of the Vampire?
I
That
think
one's
so.
pretty real because it's based on the filming of Nosferatu. That is kind of freaky because it
He
makes you
was
believe is like, was this guy really a vampire?
exactly.
Was this real?
Yep, Nosferatu.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that I think we differ in some, some opinions on some movies, but I think that we like more things than we dislike, apart, I mean.
Yeah, I think you're a little more critical than I am, for sure.
Yeah.
For me, it's pretty black and white how I fall on anything. I don't have like ambiguity.
Yeah.
I either like it or I don't. And there's not too many things I don't like. I mean, Loki is probably the first thing I have not liked in Marvel history. And that goes back to like Reb Brown and Captain America and the 70s Doctor Strange. And I liked all that stuff. Nicholas
Yeah.
Hammond is Spider-Man. I loved all that stuff.
It's so funny. It's like it wasn't my fate. Like I can't sit here and keep and defend it. I think that it was I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it.
No,
It's
there's a
still my
lot of
least
people that
favorite.
Loki, a lot of people love, and I appreciate it. Like that, it just like it followed so many of the, I guess, story points of Scarlet or the Vision and Scarlet Witch show, but didn't like have it. It felt like a circle jerk to me. Like it felt like it fell back on itself.
Yeah, I mean,
There's nothing
I don't know.
at the beginning that I didn't understand at the end. Like
I'm trying to think if
but at the same
there was
time,
anything that I feel like I learned. I don't know.
I hate time like movies a lot. Like there's not too many. That's one
Time
of the
travel and stuff like that.
I'm not a big time travel in anything like Star Trek or any like you throw that and they're like my least favorite episodes.
Wow. So you didn't like Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home?
That was the whale one.
Yeah.
I was all right. It's
Oh my
probably one of
God.
my least favorite
It's
of the
that
bunch.
and Wrath of Khan are my two favorites.
No, Wrath of Khan and Undiscovered Country are my favorites. Oh, and five. I love five.
I don't
F
remember.
five falls into my Superman 3 category, the movies that nobody likes, but I absolutely adore.
I haven't seen five in so long I couldn't even tell you what even the plot
Five is
was.
the starship. The is God. Why does God need a starship? And it's when they're singing "Row, row, row your boat." It's like a total like Kirk, Spock, and Bones movie. I love it.
Gotcha.
And it
I
has
don't remember.
Spock's brother pretending he's God.
I think the last time I saw that one was in 1989.
Why does God need a starship? I love that one. Those are the two movies that people would say, you're insane. Like you, why do you like these movies? But I can justify them on anything. Like Superman 3 is like a total Silver Age comic book to me. Like I love it on so many levels. I can just break it down and it has everything I've ever wanted in a comic book at that time.
Did you realize that William Shatner just turned 90 a few months ago?
Yeah, he's pretty healthy dude, man. For
Yeah.
I saw him probably when God, must have been 7 years ago. So
Even taking into account that he's not where that he doesn't have real hair on the top of his head, he does not look 90 years old.
Well,
He
you know who
looks a
looks
lot
good
younger.
too is Sulu and Uhura.
Yeah.
They're still doing pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. I know that I think Aurora has had some health issues, but
Yeah.
she's you know she's hanging in there. You know, you never hear about is Chekhov. He's still alive. I don't know what he does. Yeah,
The
maybe he's
last I
just.
heard is he was writing comics, but
Oh,
I mean,
really?
yeah, he wrote a couple of Dark Horse comics, but then I haven't heard anything from him since.
He doesn't do that. Doesn't do the convention circuit like the other ones do.
No.
That I don't think. Not that I've seen, anyhow.
Yeah. Kirk is really he's definitely the alpha personality that he knows how to like run a convention panel and
Yeah.
where he just can speak and he's like 100% entertaining. Like there's a lot of people that do that just have this like voice that they could talk about their dog's sperm and it's like entertaining as hell. Well, that he did at the convention we were at.
Really?
Everybody wanted to hear about his Star Trek stuff. See, he wrote Star Trek V too. And directed, I think. He wrote and directed it. But he froze his dog's sperm because he loved it so much, and they used it to make another dog, impregnate another dog.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. And he was talking about that, and he had the audience like rolling. Like he's pretty spectacular in terms of entertainment.
Wow. I believe that the convention that's supposed to, the big one that's supposed to happen in Canada in Toronto, I think him and Sulu are both going to be there. We originally had tickets because it's usually in September, but
Yeah.
COVID, they pushed it back to the end of October. And as it stands now, we are supposed to be going to Disney World that same week. I'm a little nervous at the direction that the country is headed the past few weeks because we're now going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, but you guys should be well, the thing that I
With
would worry that yeah,
the
the
kids.
thing I would worry about you from your perspective is you and Stacy both have your shots.
Yep.
But your kids you have to protect, and the people in Florida don't give a shit about your kids
No.
because they don't realize what they're doing. Like they're to me it's like God, there's just stupidity. Even like the medical, like there was that swimming pool breakout in Vegas where the doctors and nurses were in the pool, 11 of them contracted COVID, but they were all fine because they had all their shots. But that doesn't mean that the people that they were in contact with are fine.
Right, exactly
Do you
right.
see? Do you see what I'm saying?
100%.
People don't understand that. They just can't grasp that. And they're, I mean, you see all the a lot of people dying of COVID, they just didn't believe in it and they would never get a shot and then now they're dead.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
and
you know.
how what I would like to know though is how does their kids and family feel now that they lost a father or somebody, a mother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I just read somewhere, and I can't remember, I can't find it, but I just saw like half of the new COVID cases or some sort of crazy percentage of the COVID cases are coming from Florida. It's like, seriously? Like,
Yeah,
what is going
it's the
on?
su the s southern states are the worst.
And Florida's better than most of the southern states. We actually, the other day, we were. Me and a couple of coworkers were going through and kind of looking at percentage of population fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
And Florida's like a good 10% higher than all the states around it, like Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi, because
Yeah.
you have so many transplants,
Right.
from the north. But still, I mean, they're struggling. They had like the other day they had like 7,000 new cases. Like we're freaking out in New York, and we had like 900.
But
They had
did you
7,000.
also look at the statistics of the people that are in the hospital? They're getting younger and younger.
Absolutely.
It's insane. That's what I mean, man, I it's how old are your kids?
Eight.
Oh, so they got 4 more years
I mean,
until they're
it's gonna,
allowed to
well,
take the
it's gonna,
shot.
it, yeah, I mean, they'll end up approving it before they
Yeah,
naturally get.
before they actually hit age 12, but
Yeah, they keep saying by the end of the year, but that's not gonna do us any good in October.
yeah,
So we're gonna have to just run it, right?
that's what's strange though is you have a disease that was attacking older people, and now it's just everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of hospitalization, anyway.
Well, yeah.
So.
It's not good. And,
They also found out, though, they released that a lot of the people that have had shots that are getting hospitalized already have a compromised immune system.
oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so if you, like, I guess you have some kind of cancer or something that your immune system's, you should always wear a mask, is what the
Yeah.
CDC released. Is, don't let your guard down just because you think you have your shot. You have a compromised immune system, and those are a lot of the hospitalizations that are.
Yeah, if we go into a busy store, if we go like to the supermarket or something, we'll still put on our masks just to protect, try to help protect the kids, you
Yeah.
know? But
I wear my
obviously.
mask everywhere except for work and for home.
Oh, that's good.
Like if I'm at Target, like yesterday we were at Target and I think I counted masks and there was 10 probably about out of the 120 people that I ran
Yeah.
across, But
It's very few now, yeah.
yeah, it's like, and there's kids though. Like, people say, well, you're not really protecting yourself, but well, I'm protecting your kid probably.
Yep.
If I have it, my parents I just convinced to go get tested because they were both sick this week, and
Did they get a result?
they didn't have COVID, but they got tested for it
Mm.
because I'm like, you need to get tested just to be aware of what you're carrying
Right, yeah, for everyone
and who
else.
you're next to.
Yeah. Oh God, it's so frustrating that it becomes so political. And I mean, here you have Donald Trump got his vaccine 8 months ago or 7 months ago, but yet some, not, I don't want to generalize, but so many of his ardent supporters won't do it.
Well, all the politicians that are against it,
They've all been.
they all been gotten their shots.
I'd be willing to bet that anyone on Fox News that rails against it have also gotten their shots.
Which is so weird because it's almost like you're gonna kill off your own supporters,
Yeah, you're like trying to convince people to endanger themselves. I don't understand why that's their agenda.
yeah, you're gonna kill the people that vote for you. It
So
makes no
odd.
logical sense.
A friend of mine sent me a screenshot of a side-by-side comparison of the United States electoral map and vaccination rates, and colored by percentage and stuff, and they were exactly identical between Biden and Trump, except Georgia went for Biden and Trump got Florida, and those two vaccination rates were reversed. Every other state you could predict just by looking at their number if it
About
was a Trump.
vaccination,
Y yeah, yeah. Isn't it weird? I mean, why should that be? But it is.
Well, you saw what France is doing with shots and stuff. It's like they won't let you into the. You have to have a shot, and I don't know how they're tracking it because you can fake a card. But there was even people in the news for faking cards or writing fake COVID cards. I
But
guess
just
for
go get
people
a
that,
shot. Isn't that
yeah.
less work just to get a shot?
But yeah, it's they put a mandate where, like, if you wanted to go to a restaurant, you wanted to go to a movie and whatever, you have to have had a shot. Period. That's
See,
it.
I think that's we had an opportunity to say, okay, you can't go to a sporting event, or you can't go to a concert or whatever without showing proof of vaccination. Yes, some people will go ahead and fake their proof, but it'd be less people
Right.
than just, and maybe it
Well,
would convince a few extra people to do it.
in France, it convinced 3 million people. Like,
That's what I'm saying. Why do we make it so easy for everyone to just turn around and say, no, I don't want to, I'm not going to get one?
well, that's because we're a state where people will die for that decision. In other words, there would be more shootings, I guarantee you. Because if they started that mandate, I mean,
Yeah.
there'd be a lot more dead people. Not
I see.
because of COVID, but because of a
They're
bullet.
taking away my rights.
Yeah.
I have the right to
I have
die
the
from,
right to
but
be
then I have the right
stupid
to
and die
get everyone else sick
and
too.
kill all the kids and kill the grandparents and kill everybody else. They have the right to that, yeah. But this is you've been listening to Geek Brunch Retro. We haven't talked about anything retro except for a few Quentin Tarantino and horror movies that may even fill it, be in that category.
Yeah, we're talking about current events. What happened 10 years ago in the United States? Let's talk about that instead.
Well, history repeats itself. I'm sure if we really dug deep, that flu that happened back in the day in the 20s, I'm sure we'd have the same, very similar things.
I think you're
If
100%
you
right.
started to do research, you'd find similar patterns.
Yeah, because a lot of
And,
times we like to feel like, oh, it's worse than it's ever been. But then you
no.
realize, no, it's exactly the same as it's always been.
Same as it's always been, it's just easier to get the information, right?
Right,
And
exactly.
back then, you'd have to dig across a lot of like writings, historical writings, and research,
Yeah.
to try to figure out the how it was.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's good to keep that in perspective. Sometimes when you feel like things are really, really bad, be like, well, you know what? It's been bad before, and then we get out of
Well, the bad part of it is it's been bad before and we don't learn.
That's 100% true.
I
I
mean,
think that definitely is
in terms
historically
of
true for the
racism,
human race.
we haven't advanced in human rights. Like, we just relive the same thing over and over again. And as you, yeah, you might see some improvements, but then they evolve back into the same thing.
Yeah, it can be
Because people
it can
lose
be depressing.
focus. People lose focus. When they start focusing on solving a problem, something else happens. And that's the new new. So.
I mean, think about it. When you were probably a kid, let's say you were 12 years old, when you pictured being the age that you are today, I don't know that you thought about this stuff, but if you had, you probably would have assumed, well, probably there's no more racism. Probably there's all this different stuff would no longer exist because people would be so much smarter in the future. That's exactly
Yeah,
what
yeah.
I was. I think there's no difference. And we still don't have flying cars.
Well, my college best friend, Regina, she was black. And in New Mexico, I have to say it's a pretty big, in Albuquerque, it's a pretty big melting pot between Hispanics and other cultures and stuff. And I guess where I grew up, I never paid attention to it as much. But she's like, you don't see it, but it's there. And she showed me things in college that I was like, wow, She's like, what? Let's just go into this store. And he says, you'll watch this person follow me throughout the store, And you tell me that's not racism. They're not
Right.
gonna follow you. They're gonna follow me. So yeah, I mean, she opened my eyes because I never saw subtle things that just never paid attention to, but
Yeah.
it's.
I was the same. I was the same way. I'm like, it probably wasn't until I went to college that I'm like, oh my God, yeah, it's not all pie in the sky and like everything's fine. It like there's, 'cause go through life just I don't know, blinders on or whatever, thinking that things are better than they are when you don't have to experience the problems.
Yeah, if you don't have to, ex
Oh.
you don't go through that experience and see, even through subtlety, how bad it is.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Even in terms of like, how perceived how you dress and stuff like that, like it's not even race. Like I worked with a Czechoslovakian. He was I don't know he was about six. He was tall as hell. But he worked on cars on the weekend, like, and he was, he's a coworker who's pretty well to do. And after he's done work, when you're working on a car, you kind of look like shit. You might be wearing torn sweats. You got a shirt, And he was really big into VWs, and he went to the dealership, and like nobody would help him. Like, and he was ready to buy a car at the time. So it's like you're perceived, and he has the money. Like, he could buy it right there. He could buy the car right there. He doesn't have to even finance it.
Oh my God.
He could say, I'll
But no,
buy this
and
car.
everyone probably pretended that he wasn't even there.
Yeah. And me and Barb even experience some of that, like when we go to dealerships and stuff, because I dress like a fucking slob.
You dress
Wow,
the same
this.
way that I do.
So it's like
I got shorts,
who,
jeans,
yeah,
and t-shirts. That's what I own.
you'll see people pass by on us. Some of the people. Wow, this is a showdown out here. Harley and the squirrel are man, they're close. I'm worried the squirrel is gonna attack her.
My God.